This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That is our spiritual preparation. Yani, first of all, inshallah, we make dua that Allah makes us alive during the time of Ramadan. Make sure that we are still alive and we will experience another Ramadan. Dua, very, very important. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, let us reach Ramadan. Wa barik lana fihi. And Allah, bless us inside the Ramadan. The second one, we might need to prepare and revise on our knowledge of the Ramadan, of the rulings of fasting, of what to do, what not to do during Ramadan. Because it comes once in a year, so we might tend to forget what is needed to be done. And of course, we need to prepare for the long nights of ibadah as well. For the nights that we need to stand up for prayer, for tarawih. And we need to prepare the stamina to read the Quran. To read the Quran as much as possible. So if we don't train ourselves to read, to sit down on one spot, opening the mushaf and recite, so we were not able to do it. Let's say if tomorrow is Ramadan, you want to do it that day, of course you're going to fail. You need to build up that stamina. You need to build up that routine of reciting one step at a time. The previous predecessors, the Salafus Salih, they prepared Ramadan 6 months before Ramadan. 6 months before Ramadan. We prepare one day before. Allahu musta'an. So alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, never ever stop preparing for Ramadan. Even though now we can start to read, open the mushaf and recite from whichever that is easy for us, so that we are used to it. Are used to the routine of reciting the Quran. And of course, it is not the goal that we want to complete the Quran 10 times in the month of Ramadan. And that is not the ultimate purpose, no. Of course, we have to read more of the Quran inside Ramadan. Because, imagine, other months, there are no shayateens. The shaitans, the devils, the other months, there are shaitans, right? They are devils, whisper to us, don't go to the Quran, do not recite the Quran, relax. You have a lot of work to do. Go get yourself busy. So imagine Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have changed this shayatan. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, wasuffidat shayatin. The shayateens, the generals of the devils, they were chained. So that our desires are a bit stronger. That there's no whisperings of the shaytans that lead our that can make our desire win over our what is supposed to do. So alhamdulillah, imagine in these days of Ramadan, you are a bit more powerful, a bit more, you have more strength. So inshallah, you can have to read more. So let's say if outside of Ramadan you recite one ayat per day, for example. So in Ramadan, you recite 10 ayats per day. So these are improvements. Because Ramadan, after Ramadan, you need to improve bit by bit. Do not force yourself. Actually, you can try to exert some effort, especially at the last 10 nights of the Ramadan. But alhamdulillah, better. And there's some improvement. Better, there are some improvement than some setbacks. And alhamdulillah, we know all of this, alhamdulillah, that we need to prepare for Ramadan. And one of the things that we tend to forget to prepare, in my experience, is that we forget to prepare our hearts. We need to forget to prepare about our intention. As we know the ayat of fasting, everybody knows, maybe some of you memorized the Arabic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Oh, you who have believed, fasting has been prescribed upon you. Now Allah said, fasting, siyam is fardu. It is wajib upon you. It is obligatory upon you. Upon you, as it was been obligated to the previous nations. For what? So this is the outcome. What is the mission and vision of fasting? La'allakum tattaqun. So that you may become God conscious. You become one of the muttaqin. So when we see this goal of fasting, become a muttaqin, we see this word taqwa. As the Prophet ﷺ said, At-taqwa hahuna. The Prophet said in one of the hadith, At-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna. And he points to his chest. At-taqwa hahuna. So which means, taqwa is not from how many things that you do, how many good deeds that you do, but it comes from internally. It comes from your heart. So this is the most important part in our body, which is the heart. As you know, the famous hadith that says the heart is the main organ that decides whether the whole body is good or not. As the long hadith mentioned, I take the end part, ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah, and know that there's one flesh in the body and there's exist in your body, a flesh. Idha salahat salahal jasadu kullu. Whenever this thing is good, is nice, salahal jasadu kullu, the rest of the body is good, it's okay, becomes pure. Wa idha fasadat fasadal jasadu kullu. Whenever this thing, this organ is bad, is corrupted, and the rest of the body will corrupt. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Know that is the heart. So the heart, as the scholars and the people of the past they say, and it is the king of the body, the king of the rest of the body. I can quote this from Ibn Rajab. He said, فَالْقَلْبُ مَلِكُ الْجَوَارِحِ وَسُلْطَانُهُ. The heart is the king of all of the rest of the body. Your hands, the king of your hands, your eyes, the rest of it. And وَسُلْطَان, it is the sultan of them. وَالْجَوَارِحُ جُنُودُهُ وَرَعِيَاتُهُ مُطِيعٌ لَهُ. And the rest of the body will only follow. They are the most obedient thing. They obey the heart. They obey the king. They are like the soldiers and the ra'ya and the people. Al-munqadatu lil-awamirihi. And they will always follow whatever that they have been asked to do. Wa idha saluhal malik saluhat ri'aya. Ra'ayatu wa junuduhu. And whenever this king is good, and the rest of the things are good. And if it is the opposite, so from Allah we ask for help, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts one of the purest, the pure heart, and we make our intention pure. That we fast not only for the sake of routine, for the sake of the time, for the sake of what are people going to say if we don't fast? Make sure that our intention to fast is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we need to renew our intention of fasting every day, every night. So that we are focused on, no, I'm fasting because not because of diet, because I want to lose some weight, because not because of my mother asked me to do, or not because of my spouse to ask me to do. No, it is because of Allah. For the sake of Allah, I just want to get His reward, His pleasure. And at the end of the day, I hope that I can become one of the muttaqins, one of those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And you have, maybe we can, Because why the heart is most the most important thing? As one day you will come, the day where everything ends, then you will be gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment. So in this day, only the sound heart, the pure heart, will be victorious, will be safe from Allah's punishment. As you know, the ayat, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The day where there's no benefit, wealth and children. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for those who come to Allah with the pure heart. The heart that is free of hypocrisy, munafiq, nifaq. The heart that is free of shirk, idolatry. The heart that is obedient, then whenever a command from Allah comes, it follows. And whenever there's a prohibition from his Lord, it follows, it obeys, it submits. And this is, the heart that is pure, salim. And whatever you have from your wealth that you collected and from your money, from your children that you have, that you possess in this world, it doesn't give any benefit. Unless those children are children that is salih. They are righteous. They make dua for you. Even though when you are in the grave, that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Awaladun salih yad'u lahu," the pious child that makes dua for the parents. When they have passed away, even though they have passed away, their deeds have been cut off. But if they have this, and they left behind these investments, the righteous children, so they will make dua for them. And these are going to be your deeds. Will still running even though you are dead. So alhamdulillah, let us take our time to ponder, to prepare not only the physical and only the about the knowledge of the fasting. We need to prepare as well our hearts. Make sure that our hearts are pure. Make sure we cleanse our heart, our intention, especially that we do this for the sake of Allah, that we do this to gain nearness to Allah, to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it relates to the Quran as well. How do you want to make your heart pure? Is none other than one of it is to read the Quran, to be with the Quran, to remember Allah through the Quran. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those who are believers and their hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. And know that exactly remembrance of Allah makes the heart rest, make the heart becomes at peace. And of course, reciting the Quran as well, being together with the Quran, a lot of benefits. So let me end with this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal. This is one of the ayat that you can check. It is like a litmus test that you can check whether you are from these people or not, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم. Those who really, really believe are those when Allah is mentioned, their heart trembles and they become in awe with Allah's greatness. وجلت قلوبهم. They become very, very, scared, very, very humble from the. Even the name of Allah, knowing His greatness, knowing Allah's vast rahmah, knowing His paradise, knowing His nar, knowing that everything that Allah offers is the Khaliq, He is the one who gives rizq, provide us provisions. So this makes them tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And whenever, this is the most important part, and whenever the ayats of Allah, yani the Quran, whenever it was recited to them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, and their iman becomes stronger, their hearts become stronger, they feel this kind of power that comes inside their soul, and their hearts become stronger. Their hearts cling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stronger. And that is gonna be our topic for today, which is clinging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making sure that whenever you have this heart that is pure, that is strong, that is reliant upon Allah, that inshallah nothing can make you sad, and nothing can lead you astray. Nothing can make you not become happy. So this is the topic for today. Before I start, unfortunately today the Sheikh is not around. Last minute I was told that he is not around. I thought he was taking the class, but Allah kulihal, he is away for some other bigger occasion. Wallahu alam. So it is up to me. I am around. Alhamdulillah, they told me to prepare for the class. So I hope that I prepared well, and I hope that I can, take this obligation, take this what do you call this? Tanggungjawab is responsibility. Yeah, take this responsibility to deliver the class, because we don't want to cancel the class and delete the momentum. We don't want to destroy the momentum, inshallah. Moreover, we are approaching Ramadan. Maybe inshallah next week is the last class, then after that we're going to rest for a month. Inshallah Sheikh Hussein will be around again. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understanding of our religion. Amin. Okay. Everybody is ready. Alhamdulillah. So we are still in this book. This is our syllabus. Don't be sad. La tahzan. It is initially it is an Arabic book originally. La tahzan is the title. It's written by Dr. Ain Al-Qarni. It is a very, very good book. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. A lot of benefits, a lot of things that, simple things that we tend to, oversee sometimes. So we say, oh yeah, very easy. Islam already said about all of these things. Why should we should be sad, inshallah? Okay, so the topic today is La tata'allaku bi ghairillah. Do not cling to other than Allah. So clinging to other than Allah, what do you mean? This means that we are putting everything to a creation. We don't rely things to the creator. Okay, so this also includes tawakkal, that you put your trust to somebody. Okay, you can trust somebody. You can trust your friends. You can trust your parents. You can trust your sons and daughters. You can trust your colleagues and all. But the trust has to have some limit. The ultimate trust that you have to put is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then whatever that happens between you and your colleagues or your friends, and then you say, it's okay because I already put my trust to the more important thing, that is my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I put my trust in Him. So whatever happens between my trust and the other, it's okay. It's okay. I don't feel that painful. I don't feel that, kind of lost. Inshallah, we will continue. We will read from the book. If Allah, the Exalted, is the one who brings to life, causes death, and if He alone provides for all creation, why fear people or be distressed by their actions? I think that in our society, much grief and anxiety is caused by our attachment to people. Ya Allah, tata'alluq bi ghairillah. In seeking to please them, and seeking to trying to gain their favor, striving to praise the important ones among them, and feeling wounded by their disparaging treatment. And all of this indicates the weakness in one's belief in Allah. As the poet say, let me recite in Arabic. فَلَيْتَكَ تَحُولُ وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةٌ وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غَضَابُ إِذَا صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوَدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنٌ وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ التُّرَابُ. Very beautiful. Has a deep meaning. So let us see the translation. Would that you were pleased when life is bitter, and would that you were contented when people are angry. If your love for Allah is true, then all else is insignificant, and all above the dirt is dirt. So it's very, very deep meaning in whatever he said. So the first phrase he said, it is good for you. The translation means, it is good for you that you become pleased. You become okay. You are okay with things when life is bitter. When life is very, very is demanding on you. You feel very difficult in life. And وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غَضَابُ. And you, again, it is good for you as well. You feel contented. You feel okay when people are very angry. When people are, they don't accept the things that is happening around them. For example, they don't accept the rising price of the things around us. Now, the price of the petrol, for example, why it's keep on the inflation, for example, the things that the services now, the taxes, for example, it keeps increasing without going down. But our salary is still the same. So they are, you know, they are not very, very not pleased with all these things. But instead, you, it's better for you to become, it's okay, this is the qadar of Allah. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. As this, we can relate to the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ajaban li amri mu'min. It is very amazing for the affair of the believers. Very amazing. Inna kulla amrahu khair. Inna amrahu kullahu khair. Everything that happens to him, every affair that happens to a believer that he does, is good. Nothing is bad to the believer. How is this so? So the Prophet continues. And then he specified again, وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِمُؤْمِنٍ. And this thing will not happen to any person except for the believer. Only for the believer who can get this kind of, you know, the strength, this character. What is this special trait? إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّى شَكَرَى فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Whenever good things happen to him, whenever mashallah blessings comes to his life, he is thankful, shakara. And then fakana khairan lahu. And that is the best for him. And he, whatever happens to him, whatever things that he achieve, higher salary, he achieve better position in his work. Maybe he has more children or maybe grandchildren. Maybe new car or new house, alhamdulillah. So he is thankful to Allah. He gives back to say, oh, alhamdulillah, all of these are from the favors of my Lord. So he becomes very, very thankful to Allah. This is the first trait. And the second one, the Prophet said, وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّى. Whenever this person, this believer, is been inflicted by calamity, ضَرَّى. And what does he do? صَبَرَى. He is patient. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And that is the best thing that he can do. The best, which is he is patient for everything that happens to him that he doesn't like, that is against his likings. This is what we call our only special trait for the believers, for the elite believers. So nothing can shake them, nothing can make them sad. You try to do anything, everything to them, And they will say, either they say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, or they will say, first one, they say, if good things happen to them, they say, Alhamdulillahilladhi bini'amatihi tatimmu salihat. And this is one of the sunnah of the Prophet. Whenever good things that happen to you, whenever you have completed good things, you say this, Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah, alladhi, who bini'amatihi, from his bounty, tatimmu salihat, the good deeds have been fulfilled. A very, very important dua. You can just search in Google, Sheikh Google. Okay. Also inside the books, Alhamdulillah. And the second one, if things doesn't go your way, things go against your will, maybe you are infected with calamity or maybe sickness, you say Alhamdulillah as well. But you say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah in every situation. In every situation. So this is, you cannot shake a believer. One of the, live example that we can see, subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them freedom, may Allah save them all, our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, in every places where the Muslims have been killed, has been oppressed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them freedom and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them from this oppression. So you can see them, very, very strong iman. And nothing can shake them. The worst thing that can happen to them is they've been killed, is dying. So Alhamdulillah, when they die, they become, inshallah, become shaheed, becomes the martyr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them to Jannah. Allah will reward them based on their calamities, based on their whatever affliction that has been inflicted to them in this life. So whatever happens, even you have been pricked by a thorn in this world, it is a cause for you to either your sins be forgiven, or if you don't have sins, Alhamdulillah, your level, your rank will be increased and nearer to Allah. Allah will raise your status. Subhanallah. It's a win-win situation for the believers. Even though, during the times of the Prophet, during the times that we have battles, Alhamdulillah, nowadays, we still have battles, but during the time of the Prophet, the famous battles, the Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Fathul Makkah, all of these battles that happened, the companions, they long to fight in the cause of Allah. They don't mind. They say it's either two. It's either we win, we overtake them, or we die as a shaheed. So it's a win-win situation, subhanallah. So that mentality, we should, have that, so that we don't feel despair from the mercy of Allah. We don't feel that Allah has forsaken us. That is the problem of our youth today. Some of the youth today, they say, we've seen that video. Wallahu alam, I don't know whether if you have seen it or not. This, I think, is a Malay person. He was being censored, his face. He made a TikTok video. So he said, "It is enough for me to, from my childhood until now, I've only been tested by Allah. Only tests, only calamities happened to me. So now I say to you all, I renounce Islam." Wal'ayyadu billah. So this person relates whatever that happens to him from the musibah, from the calamities. He say, because of this, I don't want to believe in Allah anymore. So how can a merciful God make this kind of things to me? Do this kind of things to me? So this is a very, very wrong mentality, very, very wrong thinking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned in my previous class, those who are here around, we talk about husnudhan billah, thinking good of Allah, hoping good from Allah, that whatever Allah does, whatever Allah let happen to us, is all good. It's all from His taqdir, from His destiny that He has destined for that person. So, this fella, he can tell them, what is the greatest musibah that happened to you? Did you see those in Gaza? They lost their child in front of their eyes. They even picked up their child's dead body and bring them to be buried or somewhere. So this do your calamity is worse than this? So this is a question that we can ask them. You know, is it because of this material gains, your money, maybe your job, you lost your job? This is all, test from Allah. Because those who claim to have iman, those who claim to say, I am a Muslim, I am a mu'min, I believe in Allah, surely Allah will test them. Surely Allah promised already in one of the ayat, Alif Lam Mim. Somebody called, sorry. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do people think, do mankind think that they will be left alone and say, I believe, آمنا, and they will not be tested? So Allah asked this question, and then Allah continues, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We have already tested those who came before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Why do we test this kind of people? Why do we test? Is it enough that we say we believe, then Allah say, okay, alhamdulillah, you are a believer, you are good to go? Allah said, so that we know who is truthful. Who is truthful with their claims? That we say, I believe. And then, وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَذِبِينَ. And that we know those from them who are just lip service. They say, oh, I believe. But they don't do anything. So this is the matter of iman. That's why we say in the very first of the introduction just now, we say it is not the body that, you know, your body has to be strong. Of course, your body has to be, you have to take care of your body as well. But the most important organ in your body that makes you a true believer or strong believer is your heart. When your heart is sound, when your heart is strong, nothing can make you sad. Wallahi alhamd. And then what does it mean here? They say, إِذَا صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوَدُّ فَكُلُّ هَيِّنٌ. Whenever, if your love for Allah is true, if your love for Allah is true, very, very, you know, you say you sincerely, you love Allah, you believe in Him, and then all else is insignificant. فَكُلُّ هَيِّن. Very, very easy. Nothing can make you, nothing can cause you to be sad. If you truly love Allah, if you really put 100% trust in Allah. And then, this is the you know, one of the deep things they say, وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ Turab, and all above dirt is dirt. Which means whatever that is on this earth now, they will come back to the earth as well. They will die. They will perish. So dirt comes from dirt. So of course we humans, we are created from dirt. Our father, Adam alayhi salam, and we will come back to the same place, which is dead. We go back 7 feet. 6 feet or 7 feet? 6 feet under. Huh? Seven is too deep. Huh? 6 feet under. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our death a good one. Husnul khatimah. We say they're a good ending. Amin ya rabbal alamin. So that is one of. But we can continue a bit. Doing those things that bring you peace. Asbabu inshirah al-sadr, and the things that will cause you to be in peace, in tranquility. Ibn Qayyim enumerated some of the factors that bring about tranquility. Mentioned about Ibn Qayyim, I remembered one quote that he said about clinging to other than Allah. MashaAllah, very good. So I think I have it here. Let me. Oh yeah. So he said, you know, love, right? Love is one of the things that makes this love makes your life in this world very, very, you know, very, very, I don't know how to say it, how to describe this, very good life, you know. If you have love, if you love somebody, that feeling that will makes it, you know, make it, make your life worth living for. Ah, that is the word I say. You feel that, doesn't matter. You experience love. I, of course, I can confirm that you have already experienced loving somebody that you really, really love. Whenever he is around you, you will feel very, very happy. You will, sometimes you will not even eat. Sometimes you will not even take a bath. They say that when you take a bath, it won't make you wet. Right? Mandi tak basah. Right? And then whenever he is around, you become like very, very agitated. Oh, I know he's around. You very become very, very not yourself. So this is love. Love can do a lot of things, a lot of weird things to a person. So that's how we say, Ibn Qayyim said, mahabbatu hiya jannatud dunya. Love is the jannah of this dunya. So of course you feel like, oh, very, very nice. So whenever you put this love to something that is not everlasting, it will perish. It will also make it, your love will perish as well. Goes with the thing that you love. That's why he said, this very, I just quote this. Where is it? I forgot. Where is this? Where do you see this? Okay. So he said, those who put their love towards other than Allah, that thing that he loves will torment him, will punish him. So this means, you, for example, can we love our parents? Of course we can love, right? Of course we can love. But you need to rewire the route. Okay, it's not because of the sake of your parents. Understand? So, of course, we need to love our parents, our spouses, our children. All of the things that we need to love, we can love our special ones. But we need to reroute the love. We only love them for the sake of Allah. So, if you do that, rather than directly, this is the true love. That inshallah, you will not become despair. You will not lose hope that when this thing that you love really, really much, when you lose it, you will feel despair. There's a lot of stories, you know, a lot of strong women that I've heard. They had this family with a loving husband, mashallah, living for years, maybe more than 10 years together. They had children and all. And suddenly one day, the husband was diagnosed with something that is, you know, terminal, and he passed away. So, of course, as a wife, she will become very, very sad. Very, very, oh no, I'm going to lose my husband. What am I going to do? So she will think of all of the things, all of the possibilities that are going to happen. I will lose my source of income. My children will not have a role model. So a lot of things. So she is very, very depressed, and anxiety strikes. And then she remembers, alhamdulillah, she is one of the people of knowledge, alhamdulillah. So she remembers, why should I think of the things that is bad, that is not happening yet? Rather, I should think that what the things that Allah has given me for the past few years. Allah has given me how many years of companionship with my spouse. Allah has given me children that I can raise that becomes a righteous children. Allah has given me so many things before this, years. But this only these few years that my husband, or actually it's not terminal, the husband is paralyzed. It's in coma. So he cannot interact. So maybe around a few years that this husband is in coma. And then when she thinks that way, so she feels a bit more relieved. You see, I should count my blessings rather than count my loss. So at the end of the day, the husband passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. But, you know, the point is, when you start to think about the thing that is not yet happening, al-khawf, things that you are scared of in the future, so you start become very, very, you know, depressed. You don't want to move on with life. You are stuck in this area that you say, this is the only way that I can live. So there's no progression in your life. And then this is one of the opportunity you can get to get reward from Allah. As exemplified by the Prophet, when Ummu Salama, when the husband died, that the Prophet taught her, Allahumma jurni fi musibati. Say, yeah, Allah say, the Prophet say, oh Allah, he taught Ummu Salama, oh Allah, reward me for my calamity. Allahumma jurni fi musibati, wa khluf li khayran minha, and replace for me something better from whatever that you have taken from me. So Ummu Salama say what? There's nothing better than my husband. He is the best of the best of the best. I never have seen a person that is better than him. So the Prophet say what? Yes, I am better than your husband. So the Prophet married Ummu Salama. So one of the things we Muslims, we have a lot of weapons, a lot of special medicine that is in store for us that we can use, you know, in order to treat our sadness, in order to treat our anxiety, becomes, you know, you can carry on with your life. Everything doesn't really matter except for where are you going. The purpose that you are here is to be tested. So that's why we say any test is okay. One of the du'as of the Prophet, Allahumma la tusibana fi dinina. Do not test me in my religion. If you want to test me in this dunya, okay. But do not take my iman from me. Do not take my iman. Do not make me go astray from the path. So this is the worst of the worst. Because this will determine your success in the hereafter. When if here, alhamdulillah, na'udzubillah, we don't want to ask for calamities, we don't want to ask for, you know, musibah. When things that has happened here, but you still have your iman, inshallah, you will enter paradise. Because la tadkhulul jannah, la yadkhulul jannah illa hatta tu'minu. You not enter paradise until you believe. So if you believe, inshallah, you will enter paradise. That's why we say, and the du'a said, do not test me in my religion, fi dinina, in my iman, that my belief, that I become, I don't believe in trust in Allah anymore. Because this will cause your eternity. Imagine this world only 60, 70, 80, 100, maximum 100 years. But the eternity is compared to 100 years, ya Allah, it's like the sky and the earth, subhanallah. So we need to think and ponder, whatever happens here, no problem. Not to say no problem, not as much as we've been tested with our iman. So the only way to protect our iman is to seek knowledge, is to be closer to Allah, get to know Allah better. And the reason why some of the youth, some of the Muslims, they don't want to rely on Allah anymore, it's because of they don't know Allah, who is Allah. They don't know the relationship between Him and Allah. They think Allah is a friend. How many people that you see, that I saw sometimes, they ask Allah and say, I want this, oh Allah. I asked this from Allah, Allah didn't give me. I want this, oh Allah, show me a sign so I can believe in you. Right? He treats Allah like his friend. Well, Allah is the master. And then remembering that Allah owns you. Allah is a master and you are a slave. Abd, ibad. So a master can do anything to the slave. He has the all rights to the slave, that he can do anything that he wants. But with the mercy of Allah, alhamdulillah, we have a merciful master. The merciful master that he only uses one part of his mercy in this world. And he is saving the 99 parts of the mercy in the hereafter. So alhamdulillah, where was I? So that is those who cling to other than Allah, they will be, you know, tortured by the things that they cling to. Unless you reroute it. You say, why do I love my parents? Because Allah asked me to be good to my parents. Why do I love my spouse? Because Allah said, I have to be good to my spouse. Why do I love my children? Because Allah said, I have to be good to my children. So these are all rerouting that makes everything that you do, all of these mundane things, all of these routine things, become rewarding. You will get reward. You have a very, very good connection. And whenever Allah takes it from you, you will say, Inna lillahi, for verily we are from Allah, wa inna ilahi raji'un, and we will surely return to Allah. Very, very simple, but not easy. Very simple, but not easy. It's only those who are, the hadith, those who have iman, those who really, really strengthen their hearts, their iman, their reliance upon Allah, can do this. So we need to build our relationship with Allah. It is not like one day we can, become a wali, become a friend of Allah suddenly. We need to go through processes, istiqamah, bit by bit, reading page by page, coming to Allah, seeking knowledge once a week. Alhamdulillah, it's better than nothing. If you cannot come to classes, maybe you can find it online. You can, at least you dedicate maybe 2 hours of your life for Allah, listen to lecture, or, learn about Islam, or learn about Allah. My time is up, is it? So just to continue a bit lah. Let's continue. So I was asked to continue about this. Okay. So doing those things that bring you peace. Asbabu inshirahi sadr. Ibn Qayyim enumerated some of the factors that bring about tranquility. Number one, Islamic monotheism. At-tawheed. Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Or worshipping Allah exclusively without associating any partners with Him in worship. And without associating any partners with Him in all qualities that belong to Him alone. The qualities that belong to Allah alone, we just dedicate it only to Allah Azza wa Jal. The disbeliever and the one who associates partners with Allah, the Almighty, are for all effective purposes dead and not alive. Wala hayata lil mushrik wal mulhid. Those who don't believe in Allah, those who associate partners with Allah, they don't really have that true life. They are not living. So Allah SWT say, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And this ayat, but whomsoever turns away from my reminder, ذِكْرِي, any neither believes in the Quran nor acts on its orders, etc., etc. Verily, for him is the life of hardship, ma'ishatan donka, very, very constricted life. And wanahshuruhu, we shall raise him blind, a'ma, in the day of judgment. Ya Allah. So we can ponder a bit in this ayat. So what is the context of this ayat? Allah said this ayat after the story of Adam and Eve. After Allah said, قُلْنَا هْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Adam, Eve, and Iblis, you are expelled from heaven. Okay? So from heaven. So from there, so Allah said, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. Whenever comes from me, guidance. Okay, whoever is in the earth, So I will send you down on earth, go down to the earth. So whenever this guidance will come to you, any types of guidance from me, فَمَنِتَّبَعَهُدَى فَلَا يَضِلَّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Those who follow this guidance will not be astray and then will not feel sad. يَشْقَى. So this is the you know, this is what we want to focus on. And then Allah said, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِ. Whoever turns away from this guidance, so they will have a very, very constricted life. So Allah has already give you guidance. If you don't want to follow whatever that Allah said, so your life will be constricted. Your life will be very, very difficult. Your life will be like, you know, you whatever you do doesn't satisfy you. It doesn't feel good in your heart, even though you are a millionaire, for example. Even though you have a lot of things, all of things in the world that you can purchase, but you still find that hollow, you still find that emptiness in your life, emptiness in your heart, because of this. You turn away from dhikri. So one of the things that you can find peace is to follow guidance. Follow. فَمَنِتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلَّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. They will not be astray, go astray, and they will not become from those who are sad, or maybe yashqa means that is lost in the hereafter. And then we can continue. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَمَنْ sorry, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. And whosoever Allah wills to guide, he opens his breast to Islam. So whenever guidance comes to you, you will feel your heart expanded. Allahu a'lam, I've experienced this. You know, sometimes you are stuck in some problem, some things that you don't know. So whenever it is clear to you about that thing, some knowledge comes to you, so you feel very, it's very easy actually. It is not that complicated in this life. So this is what we call rashrah sadrahu li Islam. You become expanded, your breast, your chest will become expanded, and you can breathe better. You can ask those who reverted how they feel before and how they feel after they know the truth, that the ultimate goal of life, ultimate purpose of life, so nothing worries them anymore. Before this, maybe they say, oh, so who, when I die, who should I go to, right? Which God should I go to, maybe? Or is there a God? Or something, they don't have certainty of that knowledge. So alhamdulillah, in Islam, Allah teaches the very, very purpose of life, and Allah is our Lord. Very, very clear, alhamdulillah. Next ayat is أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Is he whose breast Allah has opened to Islam, so that he is in light from his Lord, as he who is not Muslim, not yet Muslim. So Allah asks, Afaman, those who Allah has expanded their breast, are they the same for those who still doesn't believe in Allah? So Allah mentioned about expansion of the breast, expansion of the chest, so you can feel more tranquil, that you feel rest. You can feel at ease that whatever happens to you, you are still at peace. Whatever good happens to you, you won't be very, very too happy. Say, oh, alhamdulillah, Allah has favored me upon others. No, you just be relaxed and become thankful. And you don't forget yourself. And also, whenever calamities happen to you, you will also feel, alhamdulillah, whatever happens to me. So this is what we call inshirah al-sadr. You will become expanded. Where is it? Also, all of these are ayat of the Quran. Allah the Exalted warned his enemies with the following verses. سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ بِمَا أَشْرَكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. We shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve, because they join others in worship with Allah, for which he had sent no authority. So this is during war. So you can see these believers, when they face the Muslims, they feel scared. They have this ra'b Allah has cast upon them. This, you know, oh no, I'm going to die. If I die, what am I going to do? Compared to the believers, they fight for death. They fight for death, no matter what happened. If I win, I win over you. If I'm dead, inshallah, I will go to paradise. So, win-win situation. But for the disbelievers, they have this, you know, something that blocks them. Oh, very, very scared. So, Allah put ra'b inside them. And one of the specialty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah gives this feeling of fear to the enemy, even for the traveling of 1 month, the distance of 1 month traveling. They haven't seen the Prophet, so they have become very, very scared already, very, very fearful of the Prophet. So this is one of the powers of the believers, that they should be fearful of us. But this is what happened now. Allah musta'an. May Allah protect us all. Amin. And then the next ayah is فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So woe to those whose hearts are hardened against remembrance of Allah. Hearts are hardened. قَاسِيَةِ الْقُلُوبِ. This is one of the This is one of the things that is very, very we fear of, which is qasiyatul qulub, that your hearts become very hardened, as those happen to those who come before us. Yani the ahlul kitab, right? They waqasat qulubuhum, their hearts becomes very, very hardened, so they cannot accept the truth anymore. They cannot accept guidance anymore. In fact, they try to move around the guidance so that it suits their desires. So this is very, very scary. That's why we say from the very beginning, your heart must be clean, must be pure, must be receptive. Receptive of goodness, receptive of hidayah. Maybe I... Okay, we have another few minutes. I just want to, you know, just stop here, inshallah. Because, don't know, hearts, right? So we need to talk about it often. So maybe let me end with this hadith that I remembered and that I learned about the heart that is qasiyah, that is very, very hardened. So when the heart is hardened, when the heart is black, it doesn't receive any good. It won't receive any good, but it only follows desire. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tu'radul fitan ala qulubil aradal hasir. These tribulations, the trials, the tests that will be presented to the hearts of the believers or humankind, is like a woven mat. That, you know, woven mat is like this, right? Okay. It's like, you know, you woven is like that, right? So one piece, another piece. So it becomes like it's attached together. So the Prophet say, "Udan, udan." So one goes in. So, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبُهَا نُكْتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدَى نُكْتَةُ سَوْدَى. And whenever this heart, when they receive this fitna, when they receive this, you know, when they accept it, they say it's okay. They proceed in indulging in this sin, for example. So it will be written there one dot of black dots on their hearts, one dot. So for one bad deed, for one thing that you do. فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أَنْكَرَهَا نُكْتَةُ فِيهِ نُكْتَةٌ بَيْضَى. And whenever this heart is strong, so it pushes away all these sins, so it will be put there, a white dot. Nuktatun bayda. And then, hatta yasir al-qalbu abyad mithla safa. And then the last, at the end of the day, there will become only two kind of hearts. One is white, Safa, very pure, very white, because it was filled with white dots until it is pure and white. لا تضره فتنة ما دامت السماوات والأرض. No fitna, no test that will, you know, shake this heart, as long as the earth and the sky exists, which means nobody can hurt him. Very, very strong heart, very, very pure. Wal akhar, this is the worst thing that can happen to a person. Wal akharu aswad, and the next one, the other one is black, black heart. The heart is filled with these black dots, because everything that every fitna, every test, he takes it in. Every sins, he will, you know, continue following his desire. Kalkuz, it's like a, you know, when you cook, you're using this thing that you cook, it's like the back of that thing. It was burnt until it is black. Subhanallah. La ya'rifu ma'rufan. So this heart doesn't know good things. It cannot distinguish. Is this good or bad? Or it's all the same. Awala yunkirul munkaran. It will not say no to bad things. So whatever happens, just goes. Go with the flow. Whatever here, okay, is okay. Everything is okay. No principle. And doesn't stand on the ground. Illa ma ushriba min hawahu. Except that all of the things that the heart say, I want to do this, he will do. I want to do this, he will do. So this is very, very scary. That we don't want to listen to remembrance anymore. You don't want to listen to our reminders. Ya Allah. This is what we call the dead heart. So when your heart is dead, nothing can save you anymore. So this will cause you your akhirah. We don't want to become those who, whenever Allah said, as we mentioned in the first introduction, that we say whenever the ayats of Allah has been recited, their iman will increase. So the question that we can ask to ourselves is, when these ayats were recited to us, does our iman increase? So that is an open-ended question. So I end my lecture here, inshallah. I hope that I have delivered it, alhamdulillah, in a proper manner. So I hope that everyone has benefited from this sharing, and may we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us whatever that is beneficial, and make whatever that we have learned beneficial for us and to others as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make whatever that we have learned evidence for us and not evidence against us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify all of our affairs, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not leave us alone even for the blink of an eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He gathered us here in this class, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in a gathering better than this in Jannat al-Firdaus. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our brothers and sisters, our uncles, our aunties, our fathers and mothers in Palestine, in Gaza, in any places where all the Muslims are oppressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them safety. May Allah save them from the oppressors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring back the izzah of Muslims. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us back to the khayra ummah, the best of the nations. Amin ya rabbal alamin. So if there's any questions, any clarifications, any feedbacks, I open the floor for the Q&A session. فَلَتَفَضَّلُوا مَشْكُورًا. Alhamdulillah, everybody understand whatever I've delivered 100%, because nothing is not clear. Alhamdulillah, so I've done my part successfully. Alhamdulillah. Okay, jazakumullah khairan. If there's no question, we end here. We end with tasbih kafara. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.